Right. First thing I have to do is just give you the statement to make sure you know what we're doing here. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the tree. So the first question, or first, will you just tell me who you are, give me some of where you're from, and how long you've been a member of the Chestnut Foundation?
My name is Chandice L. Klinger. I live in Pennsylvania. I became associated with TACF back in 1988. I think it was October month that I joined.
Okay. And why did you decide to get involved?
I had a small clear cut in my woods. We have 118 acres of woods. And a gypsy moth came through, and as a result of the moths, a bunch of trees died. And I had a clear cut done, and in that clear cut, there were some chestnut trees growing up. At the time, I really didn't know what they were, but I saw some burrs at the top of one of the trees, and I recognized that as a chestnut tree. And I thought, my goodness, they're trying to reproduce. They're coming back. And since it was dead, I thought I needed to do something to help it. So I called a Dr. French. I wrote a letter to him and told him I had chestnut trees growing on the property and they're dying. What can I do to save them? And he wrote back and he said, they're going to die. There's nothing you can do to save them. I suggest you get with ACF. At the time, the T was not part of the ACF. So I joined in 1988, and wasn't long after that I got a notice of a meeting in Connecticut. It was the annual meeting. And I thought, who in God's world would ever go to Connecticut to a meeting? That's too far. The following year, they had an annual meeting at Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I thought, well, that's close enough. I can go attend, see what's going on. And I could stay home at night. So I drove back and forth to the meeting. And Dr. Hibbert gave a talk. And he said he needed help to pollinate chestnuts. And the rest of the meeting, all these intelligent people gave discussions, and at the end I thought, I think these guys have their act together. I think they'll be successful. It sounds like a good program. So as I was going out the door, I turned to Dr. Hibbert and told him I'd come down and help him pollinate some burrs in the summertime. When does he want me? He said, well, the end of June. Call me at the beginning of June, and we'll arrange it to get together. So I called the beginning of June and said, Dr. Hibbert, this is Chandice Klinger. I talked to you last meeting about coming down to help pollinate burrs, help pollinate the chestnuts. When should I come down? And there's a long silence. And he said something, and I said, this is Chandice Klinger from Pennsylvania. You remember me? There's another long silence. And I thought, oh, good grief, he forgot who I am. So then he finally said, oh, okay. Still wasn't a convincing acknowledgement, but it was okay. And he said, come on down at the end of June. Okay. So I went down at the end of June, and I told him, I said, you're going to have to teach me what to do because I have no idea what a burr looks like. He said, okay. So he took me out and had a pair of pruning shears. And he said, well, what we'll do is cut the leaves off like this and cut the end of the stem out beyond the burr and then put a bag over it. In 5 minutes, I became an expert in bagging. So I spent a week in Virginia helping bag burrs, and I took a week's vacation from my work to go to the farm to help. And when I applied for vacation time, the secretary said, asked me where I was going. I told her, and I said, I'm going to Virginia to bag chestnuts. You're going to do what? I'm going to Virginia at the Chestnut Research Farm to bag chestnuts. Oh, she said, I thought you and your wife were going to go down and have a good time together. No, I'm going on a pollinating trip. So I spent the week there and got to know Fred pretty good. I did some roughing. I camped out in the National Forest. And then following year, I said, I'll come down again. So I went down, and I did that almost every year. Since then, I've only missed about 4 years. The last couple of years, I didn't make it because I was president of the Pennsylvania chapter. But I got to know the guys that work there, and we had good times together there. I miss going down to help. What are you doing? Recording this in shorthand?
Yeah, just take notes so I can remember what we talked about.
Okay.
So why did you decide, like, what was it about the chestnut that made you want to get so involved?
Well, my dad had a farm, and I saw some chestnut trees growing on there. They were small plants, and he talked about going out and gathering chestnuts. And the chestnut is a good food for wildlife. And at the time, I didn't really appreciate its lumber qualities. That is, it's long and light and good, easy to work. And I thought, okay, we have the gypsy moth coming through, killing the oaks. That destroys the production of a lot of acorns. And I thought, well, the chestnut, since it bears every year, that's a good food to feed the wildlife. And that supplements the good woodworking qualities.
What about, do you have any sort of concerns or hopes or fears for what's going on in, with the organization right now or the future of the organization?
I think I'm a little more optimistic about what's going to happen than some of the other people, even those who are very involved with the program. I get some back cross seeds and plant in my woods where it's cleared off and the canopy's open. And while they don't have the full resistance that we're expecting, I see promising evidence that the tree will grow nice and straight. That is the back cross of the progeny we're developing. And I have a few trees that have fairly decent resistance. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be a very good success. I accept the fact that, yeah, there may be some problems creep in that we don't want, but I'm looking forward to getting them introduced into the woods. And I'm one who, due to my background in the Air Force, an aircraft engine, for example, is not a bunch of lines drawn on a piece of paper to develop the design, and then they go out and construct an engine, and then they put it in a test cell, and all they do is hope that the engine stays together and doesn't explode. And then once they run for a few minutes or a couple hours, they'll take the engine out and do a complete teardown to identify problems in the engine. Well, then they'll fix some problems if they see them, and then they'll put it back in the test cell and test it again. And eventually they'll get to the point where that very same engine may be able to run for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 hours before they ever have to tear it down. The main point I'm making is that you can't wait until the engine is fully matured to use it. You have to develop it as you go along. The same analysis can be applied to the chestnut program. Yes, we're at the point now where we have some fairly highly developed blight-resistant seed coming into production. And I think that we could have some limited planting with the caveat that, hey, it's not quite there yet, but by getting the seed out in the woods, we can gather more data and help develop the final product.
Are there any other memories you have about just your work with the Chestnut Foundation, or any sort of stories that stick out in your mind?
Well, okay, years ago, Dr. Hibbert did a lot of pollinating in Mount Rogers National Forest in the clear cuts, and we would travel back these roads, and we're way off the beaten path back in these clear cuts pollinating or bagging and pollinating chestnuts. And there are a few times that we were kind of getting ready to pack up and leave an area, and Fred would look up the hillside and say, hey, there's a tree up there we didn't get. And he'd beat a path up through the woods to get the ladder to the base of the tree to get those birds bagged or get them to pollinate it. And also I have fond memories of him using that ladder, extension ladder, with a base on it. He'd put some ropes around the ladder and tie it to a tree or something to stabilize the ladder, and that monkey would climb up the very top, wrap his legs around the rungs, and work in the tree, bagging and pollinating at the very top of this extension ladder. And I forget what the length of the extension ladder is, but it was way up there. And while he's up there, he looked down and said, Chance, wouldn't you like to be up here? I said, no. I thought he was a little bit crazy, but that's okay. And then other times he had a 16-foot ladder, an orchard ladder. He would go and stand on the very top of the ladder and reach over his head bagging burrs. I'd stand back and watch. If I get up to the third rung from the top, that was far enough for me.
Sounds like a character.
He is a character. Dedicated. He, as far as I'm concerned, he's the organization.
Anything else you want to mention? You think of?
Well, I'm just looking forward to getting some chestnuts to plant in the woods. I think a lot of people in the organization don't really have any forestry experience. They're looking forward to getting them out in the woods too. But since I have some timberland, I've had to have some trees cut, and I've been experimenting almost from the very beginning, particularly since 1990, of how to get the seeds to start growing in the woods and to keep them protected from the predators such as deer and squirrels and voles. And I do a lot of different experiments, and I know a lot of things that don't work. As a result, I think I know a few things that do work. For example, one of the things I use is a egg water mix to keep the deer from eating the plants. Not too many people use it, but a few do. And almost every year, I do some kind of a little experiment, and then I would come into these annual meetings and give a member sharing talk on my experience that summer. A few years I missed this year, but I'm planning on giving a longer talk on getting the chestnuts started in the woods and keeping them growing. I thought I'd do it this year, but one thing led to another that I couldn't take the time to do it right, so I didn't do it. It's a good subject for a later year. Maybe I'll do it next year.
Sounds good.
What else do you want to know?
I'm just interested in knowing like why you're involved in the organization and if there's any sort of stories about your experiences with the Chestnut Foundation or your memories of Chestnut through the years, anything that pops out.
Well, my main interest is to get a tree, a lumber type tree, that also produces nuts to feed the wildlife. It serves a dual purpose. For example, we can go down to the lumber yard and buy pressure treated lumber, but that's not considered real safe. I think it's carcinogenic, but I'm not sure. But it's toxic. And if we had the chestnut growing, we could use the rot-resistant chestnut. I worked for PennDOT with the Bureau of Rail Freight, and whenever I retired in 2000, I told the people at my going away party that the day will come when we'll have a blight-resistant chestnut tree growing, and what the railroads ought to think about doing is the property along the railroad plant the chestnut trees. And then they get a portable sawmill and run up and down the track and cut the trees down, put the logs on the sawmill and cut their own ties right along the road. They kind of thought that was a little bit silly, but it's a good story.
Yeah, it seems like it makes sense.
The railroads at one time used chestnut lumber, chestnut trees, to make ties. And in the early days when I worked for the railroad, once in a while they'd get a chestnut tie out, but they're pretty well all decayed. If they're not decayed, they get mechanically destroyed by just running trains over the ties.
That sounds great. I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Can't think of anything.
Okay, well, I'll be here all weekend too if you